Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in the dream because of him. And I want to stop there and say, you know, there's times when we need to listen to our wives. I don't have one anymore. And I don't have somebody tell me, well, you shouldn't have said that, or you should have said that this way, or if you say that, you know what's going to happen. Not to say that we ought to cower down, but you know, a man's wife will give him good advice. At times, if you listen, sometimes they give you bad advice. That's true. But they give good advice, too. And this was good advice. Don't have anything to do with this situation. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of you twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. We hear in most churches and most religions of the day that man has a choice as far as Jesus Christ is concerned. And in our text, we see that Pilate indeed gave them a choice. He gave them a choice between a man who was a criminal. He was a well-known criminal. He was a robber. We find in John chapter 18. And we find in Mark 15 in verse 7 that he was guilty of insurrection, and in that insurrection had committed murder. So Pilate was offering them one he thought, in his mind, it would be an easy choice between him and Jesus. No doubt he thought to himself, well, they'll surely choose Jesus over this criminal that is convicted and is worthy of the death penalty according to the law. They'll surely release him. But they had a custom on that day also that the people would release a prisoner. So the people had a choice. They had a choice between an evil man and a choice between a holy man. And it's interesting to me the choice that these people make today. And while I preach this evening, think upon this question, who would the world choose today? Who would the world choose today? Well, I know in our society that murderers and thieves and all types of criminals, the man who shot the people at Michigan State University was a known criminal, that they had turned loose and he came back to kill three people and shoot five others that are in critical condition. We know somewhat of injustice in our day and time. And you and I, as God-fearing people and law-abiding citizens, can only scratch our heads at the audacity and the ignorance of government turning these people loose that they can go out and kill the innocent. Well, that's kind of like what happened in Pilate's case and in the Jews' case. In our text, they are going to let this criminal go free. Going to let this unholy man go free while the Holy One they're going to crucify. When they said Jesus, Pilate said, "Why? What's he done? What's this man Jesus done? What crime do you have against this man?" And, of course, they couldn't come up with anything. And anything they would come up with would be a lie. No one has ever successfully found fault with Jesus Christ. Every time the people have found fault with Christ, it's always been a lie. Every time. So, the people have a choice, and we find that they choose a sinner rather than God Himself. I believe they chose Barabbas because he was like him, like them. And that's why people will believe in a false Jesus over the true Jesus, because a false Jesus is more like them. People simply don't like Jesus Christ because he's holy, righteous, and pure, and sovereign over all things. They despise them. Now that's hard to understand, I know. That's hard for us to understand how one who is so holy and has only done good could be so despised, while people are the world of the world are loved so much. So they choose Barabbas over Christ because he's more like themselves. more like these hypocritical Jews who are supposedly holy and supposedly righteous, but in fact evil men and corrupt men. So they choose corruption over righteousness. You know, even if they didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ, you would think that they would choose Jesus over Barabbas because of his character. And because the good that he had done, raising the dead back unto life, healing the sick and the blind and the maimed and the deaf, performing all of these miracles, yet they despise him. You know, it's a joke to think that the world today, the world that we live in, has a great love for Jesus Christ. I believe it's just the opposite. I really do. I know once a year there's a period of time when supposedly the whole world loves Jesus and they want to celebrate the baby Jesus. You ever wonder why baby Jesus never got to grow up? In their minds, he's still the baby. They talk about the baby. What about the man the baby grew up to be? What about the holy and righteous Jesus Christ who came to this world to suffer and die for sin? What about God in the flesh? What about him? Oh no, it's just always the little baby Jesus that people are so in love with. Well, I don't believe if people had a choice today, they'd choose him today either. They don't choose to come to the Lord's house and hear about Christ. The world doesn't choose to hang around you and to pal around you in fear of hearing about Christ. They don't want to hear you talk about your Savior and what He's done. They want nothing to do with that. That tells me they don't love Him as much as they say they really do. As a matter of fact, one of these days, all of the unsaved of the earth, practically all, are going to clamor after the Antichrist and swoon all over him, but have nothing to do with Christ now. I believe they chose Barabbas because they hated Jesus Christ and what he stood for and what he said about himself, that he is the Redeemer, that he is the door. He said, I am the door. That door in which one will enter in and go into the presence of God in heaven. There's one way, and that's me, Jesus said. And they just hated that. So they hate what he stands for. They hate the fact that he and he alone is the Redeemer, and that their works will not aid them in entering into heaven. Yeah, they had their choice. I believe they chose Barabbas not only because of their hatred of Christ, because it was predetermined of God that it would be this way. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 26, And the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. By the predeterminate counsel, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Crucified by evil hands. Crucified by these Jews because of their hatred toward him. Oh, they had a choice. Everybody has a choice. But we've got to understand about a choice. Our choice as a depraved, fallible human being is always, always determined by the fact that we are sinners. And on top of that, we are dead sinners. So dead sinners are never going to choose Christ. They're never going to choose to do good. They're never going to choose to be holy. They're not going to choose to do any of that. They're bound by their will. And they're bound by that choice. Except God come and born them again and give them a new heart to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I would be in that very same boat today, except God had done that for us. You know, all the choices we made, they didn't help us any as far as our spiritual needs were concerned. They only hurt us and condemned us. Just as these were condemned in our text. We find in our text that it was the chief priest who did the persuading. Would the majority of preachers reject Jesus Christ today? I say yes. There are going to be a lot of preachers left behind after the rapture. A lot of them. Simply because of the fact that they've made a choice in their sins to save themselves rather than rely upon the power and the grace of God and the truth of the Word of God. So these influential priests then, the leaders of that day, had a great influence with Pilate. And the people. Great influence. I tell you, it's a dangerous thing that preachers have that kind of influence on people. A dangerous thing. It's a wicked thing. And I believe that many of them, or maybe most of them, are no more than angels of darkness that have been sent in to these false churches to preach lies about Jesus and preach lies about salvation, to persuade the unsaved to follow after them. You know, we preach a Christ from the Bible. We can go to the Bible and show you who God is. And what God says, they go to the Bible and try and say those things aren't true. And they give a different idea of what things are really like, and people just are sucked into that big vacuum because of their hatred for Christ and their love of sin. I've been hearing about the great revival in Kentucky that's going on. And it's mostly young people. And they're coming from all over the United States. And they're meeting and they're singing and they're dancing and they're chanting and all of this. And people are just all wrapped up in that. Oh, a great revival has come to Kentucky. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's a sham. And I'll tell you why I think it's a sham. If somebody got up and preached the truth about Jesus, I'd say the biggest part of them would leave. And if they had to quit singing and dancing, the biggest part of them would leave. It's not about Christ and worshiping Christ, which that's true revival, isn't it? From my understanding, revival comes when the heart of believers are filled, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and they repent of their sins, and they seek the way of the Lord, and follow Him. That's true revival. Not this stuff we see going on. But people wanted God who likes them, who likes their ways, who likes and condones their sin, and makes them feel good. And that's what these false prophets are giving them. These priests chose this wicked man as evidence as to who their and what their true character was. Believers and followers of Christ have a holy character. And they care about the things of God. They care about their Savior. They have had an experience with their Savior. And there's no way that true believers would have ever done such a thing. You wouldn't think, would you? You wouldn't think. Although there are some believers who support people who kill babies for what, and they say they're believers. It's hard for me to put that together. It doesn't add up. Kill a baby and love Jesus. I don't know how you reconcile that. But we see that Christ in His holiness is sent to be crucified. Barabbas is to be set free. It goes further to show the hatred of Christ. They just couldn't send Him off to be crucified. That wasn't enough. You know, when you read books of martyrdom that took place down through time, it seems like people who had such a hatred for the people of God couldn't think of enough cruel ways to put people to death. Let's kill them. No. They'll say, let's set them on fire first. Then let's hang them. Then let's cut their heads off. Is that hatred or what? Yeah, it's hatred. They just couldn't do enough. And hundreds of cruel ways of killing the children of God they came up with out of pure hatred for God. Oh, they hated them, but they hated God first. Now these, as they crucified him, we find that in our text that they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe so they could mock him. Stripped him off right there. Christ was not one to go around without clothes on. So, to humiliate him, they strip him right there in the public. Then they put this scarlet robe on him, mocking him. Oh yeah, he's the King of the Jews. Here's your king. Here's your king, and we're going to kill him. He says he's God. We'll show he's not God. We're going to kill him. And so they had to mock him. People in our day and time mock God continually. Just continually. Nonstop. You see the mocking of God. Well, that wasn't enough. They planted a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. Not gently. Slammed it on there, I believe. The blood flowed, and those thorns, as they pierced into his skull, that agonizing pain, they loved it. They loved it. I don't know how the unsaved enjoy seeing the pain and the torture of people. I remember when they hung Hussein. Remember they showed that on TV? But a lot of people were cheering and going on. You know, I wasn't cheering when I was there. I felt sad for that. And I'll tell you, I even prayed for the man before he died that God would save his son. I didn't enjoy seeing that. I guess he deserved it. And the death penalty is deserved. But that, you know, we don't enjoy it. Seeing those things like the unsaved. Well, they put a reed in his right hand, mocking him for saying he was God, and they bowed a knee before him and mocked him even. Worship in pretense. They pretended to worship God. And people in our day and time are pretending to worship God. There are some in Baptist churches who are pretending to worship God, who say they love God. Once in a while they show up and they say they love God and they pretend to worship God. Do they really? These people pretended. Hail, King of the Jews! He was! He is King of the Jews! But they didn't really believe that. They spit upon him. They took a reed and smote him on the head. And after all that, they mocked him and took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify. They just couldn't hate him enough. So I ask you, has the world changed so much in these couple of thousand years that the people of the world are any different than what they were back then? Is the old depraved heart any different? Is the hatred of God any different? Has it changed? I'm afraid not. They hated him then and they hate him now. They hate him now. As the old saying goes, the proof is in the pudding. And all you got to do is just look around. Now, we don't believe everything everybody says, do we? Somebody tells you something. Somebody comes in on the work job and they say they can do all these things, you know. You just sit back and like, well, we'll see if they can do it. He said it could. We'll see if they do. They say they love God. They prove otherwise. Don't be deceived. We're living in an evil time. In a very wicked world. Just right before the great tribulation period starts. The only thing, and the only reason that you and I can even live to worship God is that the Holy Spirit is holding this world back from doing what they really want to do. And before long, when He withdraws, they'll really do what they want to do. May God bless His word. Our Father, we come in Jesus' name, thankful that you loved us.